Today, we'd like to see the title of Because You Have Rejected the Word of the Lord. In the 1 Samuel chapter 15 and 16. Two online words sold through MP3 or YouTube channel on there. We'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 15, verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. What did Saul the king do in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 15, verse 22. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear than the fat of rams. What does it mean with other verses? And how can we apply it to our lives? Last question in chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? In the last time in the 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 52, now there was a fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him for himself. God had been working to choose a man after his own heart as a king for his glory in the 1 Samuel 13, verse 11, 14. Basically, Saul disobedience to God by offering by himself, sacrificing by himself, sacrifice only limited to priests. While Saul took a strong or a valiant man for himself, it's observed that God was doing in his way and in his time to replace Saul with a man after his heart toward David, the next king. Now, in the chapter 15, Saul the king rejected the word of God in the second time. And in the chapter 16, David was anointed through Samuel by God in the first time. First one, Samuel also said to Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Samuel made sure Saul to heed the words of the Lord after his first disobedience about his priest role to offer a burnt offering. Nobody is allowed to alter the word of God, such as a prophecy in the scripture, moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter warned before his death. God does not warn us needlessly. Cross-reference right there. Verse 2, This said the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. God reminded Israel of Amalek, the type of flesh, to blot out as God told through Moses. Although we don't know why God says, God has a good reason to say it, because he is good and has foreknowledge. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, 19, close reference. Verse 3, now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. God commanded Saul to utterly destroy Amalek, as God commanded Israel through Moses to utterly destroy all other pagan heathens, such as Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite, Perizzite, and so on. The king of Amalek was Agag, whose descendants Hamah sought to destroy all the Jews, including Mordecai, in the time of Esther. Nothing good dwells in the flesh. And so, by the Holy Spirit, our flesh life should be mortified. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So God wants us to destroy utterly fleshly things. All cross-reference right there. First of all, so Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to Kenites, go depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul, the people, spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Verse 9, the spirit of Agag and so on was inconsistent with the utterly destroyed, showing Saul's disobedience to God. Verse 10, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret, King James said, it repenteth me that I ever set up Saul as a king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord, O light. Repent and regret are synonyms. Bosso means the same of feeling sad in verse 35. But the second meaning of the repent implies change one's mind in verse 29. God is eternal and doesn't change. He is immutable. To avoid a possible misunderstanding at the second meaning of repent, King James Version used the regret, just expression of God's sad feelings for souls rejecting the word of the Lord to utterly destroy Amalek, rather than to repent in King James Version. God does not lie nor repent, which means change his mind. So in New King James Version, the repent word is replaced with sorry to God and remorseful to Judas, just for the expression of sad feelings in order to avoid the misunderstanding. But the repent word in New King James Version is still used, as it means to change one's mind to God for the kingdom of heaven, or cross-reference right there. Verse 12, so when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. He had gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul. Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So we can see, you know, he has a pride, you know, indeed he set up, you know, monument also. I performed the commandment of the law, although he disobeyed God's word. But Samuel said, when Dan is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king of Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Obeying God is better than burnt offering. Verse 22. So Samuel said, Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Question 2. Obeying God is better than burnt offering and sacrifice. Heartless services are not accepted by God. Services must follow hearts to love God mostly. For example, obeying God, obeying His word, heeding God, heeding His word, a contrite heart and a broken heart to iniquity, blot or injustice, heart to do good, seek justice, desire mercy, or desire the knowledge of God, heart for prayer, willing offering, or tithes. In the New Testament time, through Jesus Christ, our services for the Lord must follow to love God mostly. Even if there is no animal sacrifices and offerings according to Mosaic law, so you may see a cross-reference, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. So the disobedience to God's word to utter destroy Amalek was his rejection of his word. That's a rebellion or stubbornness against the Lord, just as witchcraft, which is a spiritual adultery, such as a sorcery, medium, service for another god, abomination, child sacrifice, or soothsayer. So such spiritual adulteries are the violation of the first and second commandments over the Ten Commandments. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your ways, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Saul feared the people. The fear of man is a snare of death, but fear of holy fear of the Lord is safe, or a fountain of life. So we should honor the Lord always. If we look for Lord first, doing life or ministry, we would follow His direction about how to do people. 25. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you, being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to a neighbor of yours, who is better than you. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor relent. So King James repents, for he is not a man that he should relent, he should repent. So no change. Verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me. Now please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. Saul confessed his sin, but not from humble or contrite heart. Saul asked Samuel to worship God before the public in order to honor himself rather than God. If we commit sin, we had better confess it from a contrite heart or a broken heart toward the Lord as soon as possible. The Lord may forgive us our sin. So Samuel turned back after Saul. Saul worshipped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag king of Amalekite here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, surely the business of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Verse 35. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted or repented that he had made Saul king of Israel. Although Samuel had to rebuke Saul for his disobedience, Samuel mourned for Saul when God promised to take his kingdom away. This is a great example for a minister to rebuke with the agape love. Chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesh, the Bethlehemites, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a half with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. Samuel knew Saul would kill Samuel if Saul knew an election of another king. Samuel asked God for his wisdom, rather than himself feared of the man like Saul in verse 24. God gave Shema the wise direction, prepare for half sacrifice and invite the Jesse family. So Shema did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, to come peaceably. And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated his Jesse and his son and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's observed that our Lord does not look at outward appearance, but at heart to us. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Shammah, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Shammah, and Shammah said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. And Shammah said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remained yet the youngest. There he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Shammah took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brother, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Shammah arose and went to Ramah. Here is the first time when David, as the eighth king of Jesse, eighth son of Jesse, was a shepherd. He was anointed through Shammah by God. Shammah fully followed the Lord's direction with the non-disclosure of David's anointment of a king to Saul. Some things are sometimes better left non-disclosure, because the disclosure with tongue can cause a lot of damage. So it's best to follow his instruction, closure or non-disclosure. In the second time, when David was a ruler of the house of Judah, he was anointed through men of Judah by God. And in the third time, when David, a ruler of all Israel, he was anointed through the elders of Israel by God. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. In the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit was in and out from a person. After David committed sin, he prayed to God not take his Holy Spirit from him. But in the New Testament time, when we believe in the gospel of salvation, the Holy Spirit sealed us, that is, dwells in us forever, to inherit the kingdom of God. So because of the indwelling Spirit, every Christian is greater than all the other believers in the Old Testament time, whose greatest was John the Baptist. God is sovereign over good and evil. Here, an evil spirit distresses Saul. In the New Testament time, an evil spirit never possesses a Christian, even if the evil spirit may distress him under sovereign God. Then we can pray and fast toward the Lord to bind the evil spirit in Jesus' name. So all cross reference right there. Then verse 15, and Saul's servants said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. 17. So Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man who can play well, and bring it to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of worry, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent a messenger to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he had found a favor in my sight. And so it was whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. It's observed the sovereign God controlled all things, distressing spirit, troubling Saul, his servant's recruit of David as a harp player, refreshing Saul. So David is becoming his armor bearer too. So work together to train David a good king over Israel. It's learned no matter what circumstances, now either good or bad, we should trust God with all hearts. So we already covered what three questions. Continue to keep on prayer for weather changes, damage, not only California and other area too. Also keep on prayer for feeding people from starvation and sickness, not only here South Sudan and other countries as well, the Israel, Gaza area.